they didn't sing that song at the church at Smyrna then, they would today. For we will see that that's about all they had left in Smyrna was God's love to defend them. No, we don't know much about that church. We do know quite a bit about the city of Smyrna. It was a prestigious and prosperous, and they say, beautiful city. Smyrna was the birthplace of her native son, Homer, the great poet and writer. It was a commercial city, and due to its location, it was at the very end of the trade route, 35 miles from Ephesus. Its population at the time that John wrote was 200,000. Today, it's still a city. It's not called Smyrna. You would hear it on the news, Izmir, which has a population in Turkey of almost 4 million people in this city today. In John's day, when he wrote, this city had no middle class. It was all haves and a few have-nots. So divided the wealthy and the very poor. There were magnificent temples found throughout the city, honoring Greek deities, a temple to Apollo, a temple to Aphrodite, a temple to Zeus, a temple to Roma, the Roman goddess, as well as a grand temple to Tiberius. This was an arrogant, powerful city who most of all hated Christians. This grand city, and yet we know very little about the church, but this we know, they were a persecuted church. A suffering, persecuted church, and they were persecuted. Why? Because they were followers of Jesus Christ, period. Very interesting in Smyrna, they called the believers, the Christians, they called them atheists because they didn't have any images or statues. And so all of these Romans and all these Greek gods around, and so they said, those atheists, they don't even have a god. They were also the Christians known as cannibals, because occasionally when they would meet, they would have a unique service where they would talk about the body and the blood of their Savior, Jesus. They were new, the Christians, and they were unknown, and so they were suspect. It seemed that they were growing in number in the early years of the church. They were inclusive of all races, inclusive of all classes, and even the Jews, the followers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they persecuted the Christians in Smyrna. They didn't believe they were being true to the real God, talking of this fake Messiah. Primarily, the Christians in the church at Smyrna were being persecuted, yes, because they were followers of Christ and because they refused to pay homage to Caesar. And so they were outlaws. The believers in Smyrna were executed, burned, thrown to the lions. One of their pastors, and years later, Polycarp, a great name for a pastor, Polycarp was burned at the stake. He'd been bishop of the church. He was 86 years old, and they burned him. Christians in Smyrna were thrown in prison, which of course meant that death was imminent. They were persecuted. Now, there were high periods of persecution and other periods where persecution wasn't as great, but throughout the history of the church in Smyrna until its last day when they were all killed, they experienced persecution. Now, the worship of Caesar, the worship of the state, was never intended to be this religious experience. The Romans didn't care how many gods you worshiped. They didn't care if you worship three gods, four gods, or five gods, or no gods, but they did want you to be loyal politically to Caesar. So once a year, all people in Smyrna, once a year, you had to do this one thing. You had to take a pinch of incense, offer it to Caesar, and say the words, "Caesar is Lord," and you would get your certificate. That's all. Once a year, a pinch of incense offered to Caesar. "Caesar is Lord," and you got your certificate. All was well. But the Christians wouldn't do it because Caesar was not their Lord. Jesus was their Lord. One commentator summarized it in this way. So the little church in Smyrna found itself intimidated by the Greek culture, dirt poor in the midst of enormous wealth, ridiculed by Greek and Jew alike, beaten and killed by the soldiers of Rome. No wonder there were no harsh words from Jesus. They were bloodied enough already. So what was the message? Mary read the text, Revelation 2, beginning in verse 8. What was the message that Jesus wanted them to receive, that John delivered, and is there a message for us? I think it's threefold. Jesus said, be and continue being faithful. Verse 9, I know your afflictions, I know your poverty, I know the slander. Don't be afraid of what you will suffer, but continue to be faithful even to death. Be faithful. Jesus saw them and reminded them in this letter, continue to be faithful. Stand on your values. You know who you are. You know how far you've come. Stay true to who you are. Now, can't you hear their neighbors? You know, they surely weren't all bad people, these Christians. Surely not everyone hated them. You know, they were good folks who went about poor as could be, but went about doing their ministry. They didn't just hang out at the church. Don't you know a neighbor said, stop taking your faith so seriously. Stop being so holy. All you got to do is just pinch that incense and cross your fingers and say, Caesar is Lord, and get your certificate. Stop being so spiritual. I can hear their neighbors now. You are being spiritually stubborn. You're going to get into trouble if you would just stop being so Christian. You're going to be dead. And then what good will you be to anyone? Just compromise already. Sounds maybe too familiar for the church and for us today, doesn't it? Integrity in the workplace? Not if you're going to get ahead. If you expect to climb the corporate ladder, if you expect to do anything but stay where you are, you're going to have to cheat a little bit. You're going to have to cheat. You're going to have to do step on whoever you have to step on. Forget these value things. You got to take care of the man, and you are the man or the woman. You just do what you got to do, or you will never get anywhere. Fidelity in marriage, come on, we gave that up in the 60s. It's 2020. There's no difference in a believer and an unbeliever. Just, if it feels good, do it. Oh, a little ethnic slur. Oh, come on, a little ethnic joke. Everyone does it. Stop. You're being too politically correct. Just be one of us. And racism, don't talk to me about racism. That's just a political thing. And social justice, oh, give me a break. Give me a break, I think, is what Jesus probably says. Where is the church today? Where are those of us who have been called out, the called out ones, those who have been called to be salt and light, those who've been called to be separate from the world? Where are believers today? Infidelity, integrity. Do we stand for anything any longer? Has the church been so watered down in order to be acceptable to others, we think that we are not faithful at all? Jesus said, afflictions, yes, poverty, yes, suffering, yes, fear, yes, but be faithful. Be faithful. There are absolutes. There are definitely absolutes. And if we as believers in the Lord Jesus, just take a little incense and come on, Caesar is Lord, and move on. James Stewart, in the book A Faith to Proclaim, said the greatest drag on Christianity today, the most serious menace to the church's mission, is not the secularism outside the church. It's the reduced Christianity within. Now, I don't think we have to be holier than thou. I think we all know how we sin. We've all fallen short. We know of that. That's who we are. We are sinners. But there is repentance and there is confession. And repentance says we're not going to stay where we are. Repentance says we're going to turn. We're going to change. We will be faithful to the one who called us. We will be different. Caesar is not Lord. We will stand for something. Be faithful. And then the words, fear not. I know your affliction. I know your poverty. I know your slander. The word affliction there in the Greek is a powerful word. It's a word of pressure, like you would use to grind up grapes. You don't just barely grind up grapes to make wine. There's a lot of pressure. I know, Jesus said, the deep affliction, poverty, not just a little poor, absolute destitute. They had nothing at all. Slander and suffering, prison and persecution. Be faithful even to the point of death. Verse 10, do not be afraid. Jesus can say that. I think I've preached more on fear since March than in all of my years of ministry before. COVID has brought a bit of fear to our world, to our city, and to most of our homes. And maybe it's not COVID. Maybe it's something else. Fear is so real. I preached several weeks ago, don't fear and run to the forest, but run to the Father. But there's still fear. Some of you know what it is to hear those words. You are fired. Your job is gone. Some say, well, I know, then you'd have to use your savings. Do you realize the majority of people in this country live from one paycheck to the next, and if one paycheck is not there, that's it. To lose a job means to lose a home, to lose any type of security, to lose your car, to lose your utilities, to lose a job. Last week, I went to my doctor for, you know, it was your birthday week, so you need to go have a wellness check. I made the appointment. I went to the doctor. I wore my mask. I gave him my card. I left. I didn't sit and think, can I afford? I have to pay how much? How does that work? And what do they want blood work? And what do they want to? No, I give them that card that says Blue Cross Blue Shield because I have health insurance. And I don't think about those who have no health insurance. That's fear. When I was a kid growing up, we had a Sunday every year on Soil Conservation Sunday. We tended to take the environment and the world in which we live pretty seriously. Global warming or whatever the issue is of the day, we should be afraid of what's happening in our world and to the earth and to the ground and to the sky and to the air. That causes you fear, and much less the chaos in our... We are so politically divided. Our country is so divided. You can feel it. You can see it. It is here. Maybe there have been other times, definitely in other years, where we've been just as divided, but I just know how it looks and how it feels today, and it creates fear. And as I spoke earlier about the food bank, I drive by the food bank every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and to see folks from our city, our county, who are lined up while it is still dark with their basket, their cart, their laundry basket, waiting for someone to put food in a basket for them. That's fear. Jesus said, to these who were suffering, to these who were slandered, to these who were being imprisoned and burned for their faith, Jesus said, do not be afraid. Be faithful, fear not. Jesus could say that, and here's why. Because he said, verse 9, I know your affliction. I know your poverty. Jesus said to those in Smyrna, I know about slander. Be faithful even unto death. Do not be afraid. You will suffer. Don't be afraid, because I know. Whatever was ahead for Smyrna and whatever is ahead for us, whatever was ahead for Smyrna and it was not good, and whatever is ahead for us, Jesus says, I know. Say that. Say, he knows. Say it. He. Think about your life. Think about your fear. Think about the stuff that you have tried to forget. That's why you came to worship. Think about it right now and say it again. He knows. Jesus says to us today, as sure as he said to the church at Smyrna, I have been where you are. I have known it. And I have beaten it. In life, in pain, in turmoil, in death, Jesus says, hang on to me, because I know. I shared the verse months ago from Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, our crisis, our pain, our hurt, our horror. But we have one who has been tempted and tried and lambasted and blasphemed in every way just as we are. I know, he says, be faithful. Stand firm. Fear not. I know. The church at Smyrna lasted another 60 years. Persecutions didn't ever let up. Finally, the last Christians in that city were all burned or fed to the lions. And in 155, the Christians were all annihilated. Let him who has ears hear the word of the Lord. Even in it all, be faithful, fear not, I know. Paul said, then what shall we say in response to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am convinced that not even death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's what we say. Christ says to us, be faithful, fear not, I know. And we hang on. You know, sometimes I think we sing songs because we like the tune. I do. I have a hard time remembering words of the songs, but I love the tune. I can hum every great tune on my Sirius radio from the 70s and 80s. I don't know the words, but I know the tune. We're going to sing the words and the tune that I hope is more than just words, that says, come on, singers, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, because I know he knows, because I know he holds the future. Life